You're listening to Vatican Radio.
A Holy See delegation led by the Cardinal Secretary of State, Pietro Parolin, on Monday joined other world leaders in New York for a high-level summit hosted by the UN General Assembly to address issues related to large-scale movements of refugees and migrants. Faith-based organizations are holding a side event on the same subject to make sure questions regarding the human rights of refugees, internally displaced persons and migrants are not up for debate. One of the faith-based organizations calling for a people-centered human rights and dignity approach to internal and international migrants and refugees is the Jesuit Refugee Service. Jesuit Father Michael Gallagher, JRS representative to the United Nations in Geneva, told me that while he welcomes the unprecedented summit and its outcome document, which reiterates a series of fundamental commitments, there are important issues such as the commitment not to detain migrant children that have not been addressed.
This year, 2016, has been very, very disheartening. I was in Greece at the first part of February before the closing of the borders, and I was watching the people come off the ferries from Lesbos. About 1,500 people came off the day I was there. And we were giving out water to the families as they were going on to the buses to go to Macedonia and into the other part of Europe. And that was quite touching, but it was also quite saddening when you saw the response that came later on.
We're here really to talk about what has been hailed as a historic summit to address large movements of refugees and migrants and bring countries together perhaps to adopt some new policies. How do you see the summit?
It's a state-run process, which is to say that in the UN, when it's a state-run process, they work by consensus. And the difficulty, of course, with when you work by consensus is that you might go to the lowest common denominator. With respect to the outcome document and with respect to the refugee part of it, there is not anything which is new, as far as I can see. And some things which are a bit troubling, for example, that they did not make a clear commitment not to detain children who are migrants.
So the outcome document tackles a series of issues. How is it set out?
With respect to refugees, it basically follows the process of the refugee process of identification, settling in, assessment of the claims, and then solutions for the people who are recognized as refugees, which is essentially the structure of the 1951 Refugee Convention. It repeats the pledge of not sending people back to a place where they will be persecuted or fear persecution. But that is sometimes, in practice, not very well followed up on.
Exactly. We've seen that happen again and again in the past 5-6 years, perhaps more and more in Europe. Also with the implementation of the Dublin Agreement, does it tackle the problems that have arisen concretely on the ground?
No. It remains at a level of a generality, and the commitments are we will make serious efforts to da-da-da. One of the things that many non-governmental organizations was pushing for was a commitment by the states to take 10% of the refugee population each year to resettle and divide up the 10% among the states of the world.
Among the states of the world,
right.
UN member states, I imagine.
193, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever they are. But basically the states where they could have a living. So that means mostly Europe, North America, and Australia. But that didn't come about.
What you're saying is very discouraging.
It's kind of, we have to say half full or half empty, huh? If we look at the half full side,
right.
That's good. That at least nothing was taken away, that states reaffirm their commitment to the rule of law, that states reaffirm their commitment to the human rights of people who are on the move. The states reacted strongly against the xenophobic tendencies throughout the world, but it remains at the level of generalities. It was not saying that state X will open its borders to allow people
right.
to come through. State Y will mm-hmm. prevent politicians from demonizing people based on their religion. Mm. I've been working with refugees since 1994, in North America, in Africa, and now in my position, I move around different parts of the world as well. And there are three things that people say about foreigners. They've been saying them since 1994, and they say them all over. We don't like foreigners. Why? Because they bring crime, they bring disease, and they take our jobs. And that has been the trinity of anti-foreigner discourse, at least in my experience in 1994. What people who say that neglect is the fact that in 2014, I happened to look at this recently, 1.1 billion people were tourists, international tourists. If that were a country, it would be the third largest country in the world in population size, under China and India, 1.1 billion. And people are happy to receive tourists. Your home country of South Africa receives a huge number of tourists each year, and they are delighted to do it. It's one of the major sources of employment for the country. And they're foreigners who are coming, by definition, the tourists. Both of us in this room are migrants. Most of the people I meet in Geneva are migrants. There are very few Swiss. There are some, but most everyone else is from someplace else. We've gone through a process. We've gotten a document. And we're there apparently, or supposedly, because we're bringing some contribution not only to the organization we're working for, but also to Switzerland or to Italy. And the number of migrants, legal migrants, is much, much larger than the 65 million people who are of concern to the High Commissioner for Refugees, which includes internally displaced people. It's something like 287 million people who are migrants in the world, which would still be a fairly large country. It's larger than the population of Nigeria, much larger than the population of Italy, huh? A little bit less than the population of the United States. So a huge number of people who are migrants, who are welcomed, who are contributing. But, you know, we don't like foreigners.
How are we going to change that mindset? Well, Has Pope Francis made a difference with his reiterated calls?
Yes, any number of people have said to me in Geneva how they welcome the moral voice, the moral leadership that he provides on the question of the movement of people, that they're touched by it, and that he's so strong. And these are people in high positions. If they become heads of states or something like that, perhaps that will have a knock-on effect. But at least it's a voice which is heard and appreciated in many parts of the world, certainly by most of the diplomatic community that I've met. That being said, well, there have been some concrete effects of that. For example, the program set up with the government of Italy, Syria, I can't remember which, and San Egidio, mm-hmm. and two Protestant groups.
To open the corridors.
Yeah, the
solidarity.
Yeah.
Yes.
And receiving people in. Like I think the people that the Pope brought back from Syria on his plane were the first group in that program.
Right.
That is a wonderful program and should be a model for all of Europe. Should be a model for the whole world. And I think that the Pope's stance had something to do with Italy adopting that policy. So that's effective.
Well, I'm sure one of the issues that will come into play during the summit is how, can we call it a burden? I don't want to call it a burden, but it isn't shared equally. And let's face it, Italy has been playing a lion's part because of its geographical collocation. We're the gateway into Europe for Africans, for people who come from that part of the world. Will that issue be addressed at the summit?
No. What you will get at the summit are canned speeches. You'll get the government's position, which is in writing, read out to one another. But they never talk to each other at a meeting like that, at a formal meeting. Everyone has his, you know, you speak from the Capitol, and you speak about what is your government position, not what you would like to see done.
What is your hope as JRS?
Our hope is that things won't get worse. Our hope is that maybe the talk will make some inroads in local populations, so that they will resist the quick call to xenophobia, blaming all domestic problems on people coming from Syria or from Afghanistan or from Iraq or from Somalia or all sorts of places where there are wars going on. We're certain that it's important to keep talking. So we hope that the summit will be a step in continuing the process towards a more welcoming world for people who need to leave because they're running for their lives.
That was Father Michael Gallagher, Jesuit Refugee Service representative to the United Nations in Geneva.